Okay, Psalm 107 this morning. If you would please join me there. I'm going to read the first two verses to start with. It says, "O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy." And I think one of the things that we can see from this plainly, and we're going to look in several passages this morning along the same line and kind of supporting this or amening this, I guess, is that where it says, "Let the redeemed of the Lord say so," and we're going to look at it as if we have been redeemed by the Lord, we will say that's how we have been redeemed. It's going to be a confession of how we are redeemed and who has redeemed us, and that all this is not of ourselves. It is totally of God's doing for us. And this, we don't have time for all of this things to touch in the book or of the Psalms in 107 today. But we're going to look at a number of places that deal with that the redeemed of the Lord will give testimony to who has saved them and who has given them eyes to see and ears to hear if we have them. That it does go down several times and outline, and if we're allowed to over time to look at this psalm again, it says in verse 8, looking at verse 8 and just kind of a teaser on what the rest of the psalm is like, it says, "Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men." And there's five sections that have this and then what the Lord has done for his people afterwards. And it would have to be one of those Puritan five-hour times to cover it. But we're going to look at the first couple verses, and that is an introduction or a lead-in to those that men would praise the Lord, and God's people will indeed do that and praise him for what he has done. Before we get to the references we're going to look at in a little bit of detail, turn to the book of Ephesians to start with, and I'd like to read just a couple of verses from Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5, and Paul's speaking about in several chapters here about the old life and the new life, and there's a difference between the two and what God has done in his people and has put a different spirit in them and put a different mind in them. And it talks about that we have the renewed in the mind, and actually we have the mind of Christ as far as is our view of God and ourselves and sin and salvation, and those things are what God has given to us and shown to us, and not of ourselves. And in chapter 5, I'd look at starting with verse 8, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 8. It says, "For you were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord." And then down, starting with verse 15 and reading a few verses, it says, "See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and to the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God." And it goes on, but that here it says we're to be circumspectly, or not as fools, but as wise. And giving thanks to God, it says, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ in all things, and that he has made a difference in us, changed what we are from what we were, and spiritually, and given us a spiritual life, and has changed our outlook on all things because of that. And so I'd like to look at several passages this morning, several spots, but we're going to be in one book, in the book of Psalms. The book of the Psalms. And we did have a speaker one time, that Brother Lance, that was in the book of Colossians, and his message was in the book of Colossians. And he used the book for its itself, and for the explaining itself, and for those things that he gave to us from that book of Colossians. So we're going to look at the book of Psalms some in relation to 107. And being familiar with the book of Psalms, you know that it's a pretty good sized book, and there's a lot there. There's and I had to go through the ones that I thought would pertain to what we're looking at, and then I underlined some of them, and then I put a star by some of them, and two stars by some of them, and it's pretty hard to say, well, this one's important and this one is not important. So we may not touch every psalm that I have a note for here, but we're going to look at several of them. And starting with Psalm 3, please. And this is just picking some of the highlights out of some of these places, not expounding that whole psalm. It's just taking a bit of it. And verse 8 of Psalm 3 says, "Salvation belongeth unto the Lord. Thy blessing is upon thy people, Selah." Salvation belongeth to the Lord. And God's people, one thing that we can readily discern God's people from religious people is who they attribute salvation to. If it's a combination or a partnership between us and God, there's probably a problem there. The scriptures are very plain that salvation is of the Lord totally, and we are made to conform to his thinking on these things, and it's not of us at all. Is totally of God that he does this. In Psalm 8, verse 3, it says, "When I consider the heavens, the work of thy fingers, and the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him?" And verse 9, "O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth." Here speaking that he does deal with men, does come down and did come down to men and are mindful of men. And any dealing that we have with God is on God's part, and he instills, starts, finishes things, and as it says, he is the Alpha and Omega of all things, and especially of our spiritual life and spiritual salvation that he has brought about. Psalm 13, starting with verse 3, "Consider and hear me, O Lord my God, lighten mine eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death. Lest mine enemy say, I have prevailed against him, and those that trouble me rejoice when I am moved. But I have trusted in thy mercy. My heart shall rejoice in thy salvation. I will sing unto the Lord, because he hath dealt bountifully with me." He has dealt bountifully with us. Not necessarily physically, but spiritually has dealt bountifully with his people. As we look through these, there's a lot that I'm not stopping at. I'm not covering every spot that is pertinent to what we're looking at today, but there are so much, and I just wanted to hit some of the spots. In Psalm 17, Psalm 17 and verse 15 says, "As for me, I will behold thy face in righteousness. I shall be satisfied when I awake with thy likeness." Above speaks about that the works of men and the works of men's lips are not to be relied upon, are not trustworthy, are not safe even, and only God, and He is the one that it says called upon God and He hears us. Only because He causes us to call upon Him do we call upon Him. And then because of that, He hears us. His desire is put in us for Him, and we're not so wise other than men will be scared at times in foxholes or whatever and call upon God and that type of thing. But that's not calling upon God. That's looking for an out from a bad situation, and that's all that is. Now, can God use that to bring someone to Himself? Sure He can, but men are pretty easy to do that, and then when we escape the tight spot, say, "Well, I dodged that one," and then go our way, and then He's not thought of again until another tight spot. But when we call upon Him, truly call upon Him from a spiritual concern and spiritual thought about our souls and our salvation, He hears us because He puts that desire into us to do that. Psalm 18, first couple verses of Psalm 18. "I will love Thee, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler and the horn of my salvation and my high tower." Our pastor covered this psalm some time back, and a few places I put a date. This one doesn't have a date near it, but I remember about the high tower and the buckler, the rock or concealment that He is us, and our fortress, the horn of our salvation, as it says. Psalm 20. In Psalm 20, starting with verse 5, and again, not to make light of the other verses in these psalms, but just for the thought that we're looking for here. It says, "We will rejoice in Thy salvation and in the name of our God. We will set up our banner. The Lord, fulfill all Thy petitions. Now know I that the Lord saveth His anointed. He will hear him from His holy heaven with the saving strength of His right hand. Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. They are brought down and fallen, but we are risen, and we are risen and stand upright. Save, Lord, let the King hear us when we call." In Psalm 27, over a couple of psalms, Psalm number 27. Okay, some of these I went back and even added a spot to the, I had to write small. Psalm 27, the first verse says, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?" And then also in verses, the last two verses, 13 and 14. "I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and He shall strengthen thy heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord." And up here, where it says, "I'd fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord," that belief isn't our strength that we brought up to think of that, cause of the Lord to even think those things and have those thoughts and have a thought to believe. That belief is given to us, and as all aspects of our life, physically and spiritually, are from God. In Psalm 30, starting the first verse, it says, I will extol thee, O Lord, for thou hast lifted me up and hast not made my foes to rejoice over me. O Lord my God, I cried unto thee, and thou hast healed me. O Lord, thou hast brought up my soul from the grave. Thou hast kept me alive, that I should not go down to the pit. Sing unto the Lord, O ye saints of his, and give thanks at all the remembrance of his holiness. Again, those things that he has done and caused that, and puts that in us to be thankful for those things, and to those things that he has given to us and lifted us up, and not from our wisdom and our thoughts of him that we come by of ourselves, but those things that he gives to us again, that strength, and that all those things pertaining to our life are given to us of him. Psalm 34. In Psalm 34, starting with verse 18. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. He keepeth all his bones, and not one of them is broken. Evil shall slay the wicked, and they that hate the righteous shall be desolate. The Lord redeemed the soul of his servants, and none. The Lord redeemeth the soul of his servants, and none of them that trust in him shall be desolate. Again, the Lord redeems the souls of his servants, and he causes them to approach unto him, and not of our doing, and not of our keeping, or of our good thoughts, without him causing those. And the broken and contrite spirit, broken heart, are caused by his doing and his working in us. Psalm 35, verses 9 and 10. It says, and my soul shall be joyful in the Lord. It shall rejoice in his salvation. All my bones shall say, Lord, who is like unto thee, which delivereth the poor from him that is too strong for him? Yea, the poor and the needy from him that spoileth him. God's salvation, his people rejoice in the salvation that only he can provide in that salvation. And that's not just from a tight spot. He may or may not deliver us from a tight spot physically as we see it, but that he delivers us from, and the afflictions that we have, and the evil, and the strong one is the nature that we come into this world with, sinful nature, and we must be delivered from that, and must be delivered of God from that. Psalm 36. Psalm 36. Start with verse 9. It says, for with thee is the fountain of life. In thy light shall we see light. O continue thy loving kindness unto them that know thee, and thy righteousness to the upright of heart. Let not the foot of pride come against me, and let not the hand of the wicked remove me. There are the workers of iniquity fallen. They are cast down and shall not be able to rise. But up here, with thee is the fountain of life. In light, in thy light shall we see light. And that if he does not open the eyes and cause the light to shine, we will not see it. There are many that are religious and read the scripture, but if if that's all that there is without the working of God, the light does not come on. There are many that have the scripture and don't understand them. They said to the Pharisees to search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, but they are they that testify of me. And indeed, without the true light, we don't come to that realization. We may know some of the words of religion and salvation. We may know some of the words of them, but we can't comprehend them unless His light has been given to us. Without that light, we shall not see light. Psalm 37. Starting with verse 23, please, of Psalm 37. It says, "The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. I have been young, and now am old, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. He is ever merciful and lendeth, and his seed is blessed. Depart from evil and do good, and dwell forevermore. For the Lord loveth judgment, and forsaketh not his saints. They are preserved forever, but the seed of the wicked shall be cut off." And then two more verses. Verse 39. "But the salvation of the righteous is of the Lord. He is their strength in the time of trouble. And the Lord shall help them and deliver them. He shall deliver them from the wicked and save them because they trust in him." And a couple of things on that. Thought on, again, salvation is of the righteous is of the Lord. And it's not the as commonly thought. It's not the good ones God takes care of. It's not the righteous that of ourselves. It's the righteousness that we have in Christ alone, and that's the only righteousness that we can lay claim to. Psalm 40. Starting with the first verse. "I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. And he hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. Blessed is that man that maketh the Lord his trust, and respecteth not the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies. Many, O Lord my God, are thy wonderful works which thou hast done, and thy thoughts which are to usward, they cannot be reckoned up in order unto thee. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered." Again, that those the condition that by nature and that God alone could take care of, that could take us from the pit or the miry clay. Psalm 52. I did have to skip a few places. Not that there probably was not many things there to see, but for we just had to. Psalm 52, starting with verse 8, it says, "But I am like a green olive tree in the house of God. I trust in the mercy of God forever and ever. I will praise thee forever because thou hast done it, and I will wait on thy name, for it is good before thy saints." And which that starts out, the first part of this psalm, it's talking about man that boasts in himself and the mischief that they have by nature. And the the love of lying and those kind of things, and that by nature we all are part of that, and by nature, but down here, the righteous that God has made so and stand before him as such, so laugh at these things. And then it says, I am like a green olive tree. I trust the mercy of God forever and ever. I'll praise thee forever because thou hast done it. And I will wait on thy name, for it is good before thy saints. And there's things that the difference there in the in that first part of that psalm and in the second or the last few verses is, as it says here, because thou hast done it, not because we have wised up or we have spent enough time that we have figured these things out and that we are spiritually wise now in our own doing. And it says here very plainly, and God's people will attest to that, that he has done it, not we have done it. Psalm 62, over a couple more. Psalm 62. Psalm 62, starting with verse 5. My soul, wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from him. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be moved. In God is my salvation and my glory. The rock of my strength and my refuge is in God. Trust in him at all times, ye people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us, Selah. Pretty well says it there. Pretty well says it that our only expectation, it says our soul only waits upon God, and our expectation is from him. In God, verse 7, is my salvation and my glory. The rock of my strength and my refuge is in God. Again, not that we are wise enough to turn to God and use him, but we're thankful that he had a people that he is about delivering, and this is the difference that he causes him to be that to us. He has made those things unto us, and not by our wisdom, not by our wisdom. Psalm 65. Psalm 65. And verse 4. Blessed is the man whom thou choosest and causest to approach unto thee, that he may dwell in thy courts. We shall be satisfied with the goodness of thy house, even of thy holy temple. And here it says, whom thou choosest and causest to approach unto thee, that he may dwell in the courts. We shall be satisfied with the goodness of thy house, even of thy holy temple. And here again it takes away the thought of here's a choice, and you make your decision for God, and he'll fix you and take care of business for you. And here it said that God causes this, any desires that we have towards spiritual things are by his working and not by any of our own. We're as the first part of that last psalm there, or two back, that we're nothing but wickedness by nature, and we go about boasting about it. We like those things by nature, and we're not bent towards God by nature. We're not leaning that direction. And it, as it says here, blessed is the man who God has chosen. Psalm 66. Starting with verse 16, it says, come and hear, all ye that fear God, and I will declare what he hath done for my soul. I cried unto him with my mouth, and he was extolled with my tongue. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. But verily God hath heard me, and hath attended to the voice of my prayer. Blessed be God, which hath not turned away from my prayer, nor is mercy from here. And here, this, as we saw in the psalm before, 65, it's God that causes us to call upon him, or or have a desire to. And him that God has put a desire in, has called and caused him to approach, he will hear. He will hear. Because again, the righteousness we stand in is not our own, and the Lord's righteousness that he places us in, and it, because of that, he does hear us. He does hear his people that he causes to come unto him. In Psalm 68, verses 19 and 20, it said, "Blessed be the Lord, who daily loadeth us with benefits, even the God of our salvation, Selah. He that is our God is the God of salvation. And unto God the Lord belong the issues from death." Couple of things here. It said, "Blessed be the Lord who daily loadeth us with benefits, even the God of our salvation," and all the benefits that entitles us or causes to stand in him with the Lord himself as heirs of Christ and joint heirs with him, and the benefits that we have. And it's not the bank account, and it's not good health or those type of things. In Psalm 92, skip over a few to Psalm 92. Psalm 92, starting in verse 12. "The righteous shall flourish like the palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall still bring forth fruit in old age. They shall be fat and flourishing to show that the Lord is upright. He is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in him." And those are realizations that he has caused us to have and to bring about to us. And Psalm 130. Psalm 130, and it says, "Out of the depths have I cried unto thee, O Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Let thine ears be attentive to the voice of my supplications. If thou, Lord, shouldest mark iniquities, O Lord, who shall stand? But there is forgiveness with thee, that thou mayest be feared. I wait for the Lord. My soul doth wait, and in his word do I hope. My soul waiteth for the Lord more than they that watch for the morning." I say, more than they that watch for the morning. "Let Israel hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there is mercy, and with him is plenteous redemption. And he shall redeem Israel from all his iniquities." And here, speaking of the obviously of the church, we know that he delivered Israel of a lot of physical things, but he did not deliver them from their iniquities. There were some that were, just as today, there are some. And praise God that there are some, that he has them. And in him, it says, there's mercy and plenteous redemption. And our pastors mentioned that several times about that. And that plenteous redemption, you could take that phrase and spend a long time on it, just on that one phrase. And then Psalm 146. This is one of them that I have two stars by. Several of them were one star. 146, starting with verse 5. "Happy is he that hath the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God, which made heaven and earth, the sea and all that therein is, which keepeth truth forever, which executeth judgment for the oppressed, which giveth food to the hungry. The Lord looseth the prisoners. The Lord openeth the eyes of the blind. The Lord raiseth them up that are bowed down. The Lord loveth the righteous. The Lord preserveth the strangers. He leaveth the fatherless and the widow. But the way of the wicked he turneth upside down. The Lord shall reign forever, even thy God, O Zion, unto all generations. Praise the Lord. Excuse me. But again here, he opened the eyes of the blind. He raiseth them that are bowed down. Is of God, and God's people will acknowledge that. And that is a major difference between religion and God's people that are delivered by him, are they recognize what they have and who it is from. And back again to, in closing, to Psalm 107, the first couple verses again, it says, O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy. And again, it calls us to be mindful of who redeemed us. Who did this? I think it's always on God's people's minds that where it comes from. And we talk about our salvation is totally based on Christ's merit, righteousness, and those things that only he can provide to his people. And his people will acknowledge that. And I didn't know if we'd cover that much ground this morning, but thank you for your attention. And as the other mic says, be free. Same button?
Just the bottom button there on mode, turn it off.
Yeah. There we go. It should go blank in a minute, shouldn't it?